Today on Seculo, former Attorney General Bill Barr just made a bombshell announcement regarding Donald Trump.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, I want to play this right off the top because you know former Attorney General Bill Barr, who was, I think, a very loyal member of President Trump's cabinet until the very end of the presidency, around the January 6th and the election denial, and he had issues with that. He wrote a book about it, but he's kind of had a maybe you'd call it a come to Jesus moment on this current election between President Trump and President Biden. I want you to take a listen to what he thinks, and this is just what he thinks would happen if Joe Biden was reelected. Take a listen.
I think it's my duty to pick the person I think would do the least harm to the country. And in my mind, that's I will vote the Republican ticket.
You will.
I will support the Republican ticket. I think the real danger to the country, the real danger to democracy, as I say, is the progressive agenda.
And he went on to say even further that, and I want to play this for everybody, what a continuation of the Biden administration would be for America.
While Trump, and I said, Trump may be playing Russian roulette, but continuation of the Biden administration is national suicide, in my opinion.
Okay, you understand, folks, these are coming from some of the strongest Republican critics of President Trump who served his administration, who have now realized after 4 years of President Biden that it would be a national suicide, in their opinion. This is someone who served as Attorney General twice. I mean, this is a huge shift for someone like Attorney General Bill Barr. We're also going to be talking about how jury selection begins again today in Trump's Manhattan trial. I've been on Newsmax a couple of times this week. You know, when they did this the first time, about half the people raised their hands and said they cannot issue a fair, they can't be fair and impartial, either because, you know, they supported the president or don't support the president. They'll have another 92 people in there today. It'll be intriguing to see how many immediately are excused because of that question and the difficulty in finding a fair and impartial jury in the city of New York, where, A, you have, of course, 88% of the people are registered Democrats, and B, President Trump, for the other people, employs a lot of people in the city of New York. So, I mean, it's kind of this a dichotomy that is making it more difficult to find not just the 12 jurors, but the six additional alternate jurors. Now, I'm sure they'll get to there at some point. This can sometimes take 2 weeks, but this trial, they're trying to finish by November. Why by November? Election interference. They want to, you know, they'd love to have this done before you go to the polls, especially if they think they can get a conviction, even though I think this conviction would be appealed and ultimately overturned. We are going to talk about Israel as well, because the funding packages have been finally separated out. You know, we've talked about how the fact that most Democrats did not want Israel and Ukraine and Taiwan and our own military in separate funding bills. They wanted it all together. Vote for all of it or none of it. And Republicans were saying, no, we're not going to vote for Ukraine for hundreds of millions of more, billion more dollars if we don't have accounting and we don't know where this money is going. Well, now they will get to vote this weekend on those separately. So we'll break those down for you as well. I think they will pass, but they're going to pass with very different Republican and Democrat support. I want your thoughts on this. Would you vote for just the Israel package and maybe the Taiwan and U.S. aid package? Where would you be on those votes? 1-800-684-3110. And what do you think about Attorney General Barr's switch, calling it really a national suicide to put Biden back in office for another 4 years? We need your support at the ACLJ. It is critical. We need you to fight back on our Life and Liberty drive. And folks, this is the time to do it. Double your donation. Let's make sure we get that aid to Israel now. remind you as well, we got a packed show today. Rick Brunell is going to be joining us about this funding and also about Attorney General Barr's statements. Tulsi Gabbard as well about the funding bills. These are going to be voted on. They're planned to be voting on Saturday. So we've got some time here to build momentum, to get support for the bills at the ACLJ. And ACLJ Action supports certainly the bills funding Israel while they are under a dual attack, both by the war in Hamas, which was started by Hamas on October 7th. You know, would any of these people be protesting in the streets against Israel if Hamas had not carried out those atrocities on October 7th and Israel didn't have to respond and go to war? I don't think so. So it's all because Hamas decided to do that, that you're even seeing these protests. So, I mean, the fact is Hamas did not have to pick this fight, but they did, and now they are paying the consequences. When it comes to Iran, of course, Iran has said they're threatening more to Israel. They say, you want more? We'll send more. Because right now, what are they experiencing from the world? No punishment yet. No punishment. And Israel's being told to back off from punishment. Maybe some sanctions, but don't respond militarily, which I can't stand when other countries tell an independent sovereign country how they should respond after being attacked in such a brazen, illegal way under international law and the international law of war and armed conflict. But I do want to go to what's happening in New York today as well, because Harry Hutchinson, Harry, first of all, they had a tough time with jurors on day one of this. They started out with nearly 100 people. 50 were out immediately. They just raised their hand and said, I cannot be impartial. And that could be because you don't like him, you do like him, but that's it. They didn't even need to ask more questions. I think they found six or seven people, but they've got to get it up to 18 because you have to have 12 jurors and six alternates. Usually you can get this done in a couple of weeks, but if this starts slowing down even more today, it just shows how difficult it is for President Trump to get a fair jury trial in the city of New York.
Absolutely. And we got some recent news suggesting that the existing jury pool of seven has now been reduced to six because one of the jurors has basically reneged on her commitment to be impartial, number one, and then number two, she is afraid that her identity has been disclosed, placing her under personal pressure. I believe that if that news begins to spread, it will be more and more difficult to assemble a jury pool of 18 individuals, number one. But number two, I also think it's extremely difficult for the American people to be completely impartial with respect to Donald Trump. You either have an opinion for or against him, and probably the most solid basis of selecting jury members is to simply go out there and find individuals that have been in a coma for the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying it's not like they tried to say it's not like we're saying you are or you're not going to vote for him. But I mean, if you ask somebody if they're going to be impartial or not, and I knew I was going to vote for or against someone, I would probably raise my hand saying I can't be impartial if I think they should be the next president. So it's kind of hard to divide that up. This case, they want done by November. Now, early November is the election. So if they want it done by the election, I mean, they're talking the first week, maybe 8-9 days into November. Do you see them possibly trying to fast track it to get it there just to hurt Donald Trump?
Absolutely. So if you look at the Manhattan prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, I think that is his purpose. I think any objective legal analyst recognizes that this particular trial does not make legal sense. It does make political sense. And there is a huge distinction. So what Alvin Bragg has done is he has bootstrapped misdemeanor cases and then created a felony case with respect to a federal crime with respect to campaign finance violations or alleged violations. But basically what we have is a misdemeanor trial And this trial should be either dismissed or it should be over in a short period of time. And perhaps Donald Trump, even if he were found guilty, would have to pay a fine.
Look, I know a lot of you folks, you're not happy with Bill Barr, some of the comments he made, maybe the book that he wrote, but he is being very honest about how President Trump is being treated right now in the legal system. He also said he is going to vote for the Republican nominee. And right now, President Trump is the prospective Republican nominee. He's got the votes for the primary. And unless something crazy happened, he will get the nomination at the Republican convention in July. So I want you to listen to this, because this is what Bill Barr called just this trial by Alvin Bragg in New York. Bite five.
Well, I've said from the beginning, this case is an abomination. You know, it's obviously political. 7 years after he pays hush money to try to come up with this case. It's also, as you say, it's not only far-fetched, they're trying to predicate it on a federal crime, which wasn't prosecuted, and they're wrong about it. This was not a campaign contribution. They're just wrong on the law. But to me, this shows that the real threat to liberty, the real threat to our system, are the excesses of the progressive left. They're perverting the system of justice, and you know that's where the danger lies: the corruption and subversion of our institutions by the left.
Yeah, I mean, there you go, and that's because of what you said. I want to take calls on this too, 1-800-684-3110, and on the funding bills. I'd love to know where our supporters are. Like, if you were a member of Congress in the House this weekend, folks, would you be voting only for the Israel funding, maybe also the U.S. military funding, though we don't know the number on that yet? It should be released soon. Or would you be voting on the Taiwan funding as well to push back against China? I'd love your thoughts on that. 1-800-684-3110, because finally, you don't have to vote for all of them. You get to pick which ones you get to vote for. But on Attorney General Barr, and going back to that, Harry as well. I mean, this is, to me, the first example of massive election interference, because it shows how much time President Trump has to spend in a Manhattan courtroom instead of being on the campaign trail like President Biden.
Absolutely. So one of the issues in this particular trial is the fact that Donald Trump is kept off the campaign trail. And that is one of the purposes. At the end of the day, however, Donald Trump will perhaps suffer harm politically if he's convicted, even in New York, even if most Americans agree that the jury panel is biased. But I think at the end of the day, the American people will be realistic about the choices they face between Biden and Trump. And I think at the end of the day, the pocketbook issues and our standing in the world. If you look at Ukraine, 90% of Europeans believe that the Ukrainian war has already been lost. And so then the question becomes, why spend additional funding there? And I think at the end of the day, the American people will be very realistic about the choices they face, and hopefully they will make the right one.
Folks, we got a lot coming up. Of course, joining us next is Rick Grinnell. I want to let you know this, and I thank Harry for all of his insight. We are in the fight for life and liberty, and it is raging, folks. I've never seen anything like it, but we are equipped to take on these challenges. You know we are at the ACLJ because of your dedicated support. Now we're in the last 2 weeks of our Life and Liberty Drive, and any amount you give will be doubled today at ACLJ.org. Your support helped meet this critical need and allows us to continue to fight. We have secured major wins this week for Christian students who were banned from praying and even had Easter projects destroyed because of their Christian message. Secured victories there. We are in court right now defending a teacher who was banned from praying and will likely be filing a lawsuit to defend kids who were banned from giving out Easter eggs with Bible verses in them. We're defending Israel with a brand new demand letter to the EU, foreign leaders, and the UN. That will be up on our website at aclj.org if it's not already. So please support us now during this Life and Liberty Drive, because any amount is right now doubled at ACLJ.org. We have donors ready to double. So they've said, we will double any amount that's donated this month of April. And again, folks, by making your donation monthly, you can become an ACLJ champion. And that is so critical to our work, because we can count then kind of on those resources. We know exactly what's going to be coming in from our ACLJ champions, so how we can expand what work. We never have to think, thankfully, at the ACLJ right now, can we afford to do a case? But it's also good to know, can we afford to expand our work? And that's what ACLJ champions are helping us to do. You can do that by going to aclj.org/champion, or donate today, double the impact at aclj.org. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to SecHeal. We are joined now by Rick Rinella, Senior Advisor for the ACLJ on National Security, Foreign Policy, but also, you know, he's very involved in our nation's politics as well, especially when we're in these election years. And Rick, I wanted to go to you first on these comments by former Attorney General Bill Barr, who towards the end of the Trump presidency and surrounding kind of the January 6th and some of those issues was, and even in his book, was a bit critical of President Trump. But he's definitely had a come to Jesus moment after the 4 years of President Biden, because, well, let me play it one more time, because he thinks that, and I just want to play that short part, folks, guys, that a continuation of the Biden administration would be this for our country. Play it.
Well, Trump, and I said, Trump may be playing Russian roulette, but continuation of the Biden administration is national suicide, in my opinion.
Okay, if Bill Barr believes that a continuation of the Biden administration is committing national suicide, I mean, I would imagine a lot of American voters feel the same way, regardless of how they may have felt about President Trump even 4 years ago.
Yeah, look, I think there's no question. We're about to see, Joe Biden is so bad, we're about to see Bill Barr campaign for Donald Trump. I mean, we're getting into that territory. People see what President Trump did versus what Joe Biden did as president. We're not talking about promises from politicians of what they might do in the future. The American people actually get to compare apples to apples. They compare presidencies to presidencies. And this is key. Donald Trump had a closed border and no wars. And that alone should win you the presidency when you look at the debacle that Joe Biden has gotten us into and we're still not out of. Remember, we've got Americans being held hostage in Israel. We've got a fight over a raging war in Europe. I'm in Europe right now, and I can tell you that we have, world leaders, people in Europe who are clamoring for Donald Trump.
Rick, I wanted to also talk to you because I think the Bill Barr shift is huge, and we've been talking about it the first kind of half of the show, but also about what's happening on our border. We now have a new report that nearly 25,000 Chinese nationals have been at the U.S. borders in 6 months. That's a 37,000% increase in 3 years. So when we talk about the southern border, the northern border, other borders of the United States, this idea that it's all Hispanics and it's all people from Latin America or Central America or South America, it's wrong. I mean, we've caught nearly 1,000 people on the terror watch list, and now we're looking at 37,000 Chinese nationals. I mean, this is a security threat. It's the fentanyl threat is a killer threat. I mean, the list goes on and on about how dangerous it is to have a border this open. And the Democrats in the Senate obviously didn't want that to even be tried in the Senate. Look, Mayorkas was not likely going to be impeached. He was not going to actually be found guilty. He was going to get acquitted likely by the Senate. But they wanted to make sure Republicans weren't even able to put this information forward to the American people to hear.
Look, I think the most frustrating part of this whole thing is that politics seems to reign supreme in Washington, D.C., and common sense is gone. you look at this border crisis and it's just facts, it's numbers. You show through facts just how bad our border is and how open it is. And look, this has been going on for so long that I'm not surprised to see every nation getting the information that if you just make it to Mexico and walk over the border, you can get into the United States. Look, people have waited years and years and years and spent a lot of money trying to convince the State Department and DHS and the agencies that make the decisions for who gets to come into our country. They've spent years trying to convince legally different U.S. agencies. Now they're realizing after 3 years of this mess that they can just walk across the border. And so for 3 years, people have been preparing in every single country across the world. Everyone who wants to come into the United States has been preparing, and all they have to do is fly into Mexico, get to the border, and walk across the border. That's enticing people. Why would you wait in line and do the legal thing when it's so easy to come across the border? It's outrageous and it's wrong. And I'm not surprised that every single nation is taking advantage of it.
Yeah, we've also got this push, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Rick, for Biden and Trump to commit to fall debates. And that kind of all fell apart between the last cycle in the Presidential Debate Commission because Republicans finally said, you know what? I mean, you're picking the moderators who are left-leaning, and they're going to be tougher on our guy than they are on the other guy. And they're going to call out our guy a lot more. They're going to be nastier to him. And it's just not fair. So we don't think we necessarily need to be part of this. What at this point in time, if you're advising President Trump, and things change from now till, you know, we get closer to November. I mean, do you think they that President Trump should agree to any kind of debate with President Biden?
Yeah, I think most any debate he wins, we're going to be able to show that it's war versus no war, open border versus no closed border. The stark contrast is unbelievable. I also think that we're beating the legacy media and the biased Washington, D.C. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. And we're not surprised that the New York Times, the Washington Post, or whatever legacy media is going to beat up on a Republican. We're prepared for it. I think people get it. But I'm no fortune teller, but just mark my words, Joe Biden and his team are getting ready to say, we can't debate Donald Trump because of election interference or democracy or whatever their latest excuse. The things that they're doing, they're going to blame President Trump for and pretend like they can't debate him because it wouldn't be right. And the media will go along, and the media will try to not have debates because of some crazy excuse from the Biden team. There's no possible way, Jordan, Joe Biden wants to debate Donald Trump. There isn't enough preparation or drugs to prop him up for those 2 hours. It's just not going to happen.
You know, I tend to agree with you, Rick, and I appreciate all of your insight and having you as part of our team at the ACLJ. And again, folks, as we're part of this Life and Liberty Drive, and Rick, you know this, you're able to be part of our team because of our donors. And just take 30 seconds out there because we're able to keep you as part of our team. And we were able to go right to you after the administration finished up to say, can we get you on our team? Can we get you on the broadcast? Can we get you help behind the scenes? And we were able to work it out because of our donors.
Yeah, look, our donors are amazing. These people have been with us for a long time. And I believe that people are supportive of the ACLJ because they know that we have substance and we know we have a broad team. You're going to get a good debate and you're going to get follow through, not just media talking points, but actual lawyers and court cases. So we're a substantive team and I hope people will support us.
Yeah, I do too. Rick, as always, we appreciate your support. And folks, right now, we are in a critical time at the ACLJ with our Life and Liberty Drive. And you know, again, we're defending Israel with a new demand letter that's gone to the EU foreign leaders and the UN. We've secured major wins this week for Christian students banned from praying, even had their Easter projects destroyed. Donate now. Double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. And if you can, become an ACLJ champion. Choose an amount you can donate monthly.
Keeping you informed and engaged. now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, welcome back to Seculo. I do want to take some of your phone calls as well, because we talked about a lot of issues with President Trump and another jury selection day. A second juror has now been dismissed from the Trump hush money trial. We knew one was dismissed, so now we've got a second. So they got up to, I think it was seven. You've got to get 18 because you have to get six alternates plus 12 jurors, and they were up to seven. I guess now they're down to five as they start today with another 90 or so people. So again, it doesn't look like they will finish it out this week. Sometimes this does take a couple weeks. What happens if it doesn't? Now, we've actually got questions about that coming in. Bill in Wyoming on line one. Welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, that is my question. If they can't get anybody to get on the jury, how many times do they have to go through that before they got to quit, or even President Trump's team could actually say, hey, we need a change in venue?
Yeah, I think, again, the second part may be the issue. It's not they're going to quit. They're not going to drop their case because they can't get this jury. It may bring up a change of venue issue, because if you continue to go back and back and you can't even get to the 18 in the size of the city of New York, one of the largest populated cities in the United States of America, and if you can't find 18 people who feel like they can be impartial, and again, you got to find 12 to serve as jurors, six who can serve as alternates, then you do have to look at like potential other places potentially to hold the trial. We knew this was going to be an issue for President Trump, not just because it was in New York, but also because you had the judicial system, the politics of New York, and the fact that 88% of New Yorkers are registered Democrats. So they already have this kind of anti-Trump view that, hey, I'm not voting for this guy. I think he's the wrong guy to be president. And they tried to say that shouldn't matter. You know, that shouldn't impact whether you could be impartial or not. But I think most people who hear that, when they decided, could I be impartial or not, they would raise their hand if they think that there's someone who is definitely going to campaign against him, or definitely going to campaign for him, and being honest, that they couldn't really be impartial. It'd be pretty hard to separate that out, considering these trials have become so politically charged. I mean, even when you hear Bill Barr say, you know, this is like bootstrapping laws to try and make felonies out of low-level misdemeanors. Let's take another call as well. Keep calling us, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Neil called in from Texas online too. Hey, Neil.
Hey, Jordan. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, man, I am just calling because of frustration, and I can only imagine Trump's frustration and other people's frustration. But my question is, why can we not turn the horns around those who are deliberate, those who are lying, those who are bearing false witness, those who are even putting it in writing and making it libel? How come we can't take and put the, if you want to accuse Jordan Seculo of such and such and you're wrong and you're causing him pain and harm, where's the consequence? And so we're just seeing the repeat, 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 but I'm not seeing anybody get put behind bars for outright trying to harm not only individuals, but this nation.
No, I mean, you see, I mean, you saw, you know, Weisselberg, the COO or CFO, is doing 6 months again over whether or not the filings were correct, and they were trying to, you know, flip him to go after President Trump, and he was unwilling to do so. I mean, they're huge companies, and again, the focus, the amount of resources that you have, not just the New York DA, New York City DA, you've got the New York Attorney General, you've got the Fulton County DA, and you've got a special prosecutor in Florida and New York, Jack Smith, going after President Trump, spending hundreds of millions of dollars when you combine all of that to try and take him down before the election, or at least dirty him up enough that people are scared to vote for him as president, even if they want to. Support the work of the ACLJ. Do it now. Double the impact of your donation during our Life and Liberty Drive at ACLJ.org. We need your financial support more than ever. Donate now. We'll be right back. back to Secchio. We are taking your phone calls, too, at 1-800-684-3110. A senior analyst for us here at Secchio, Tulsi Gabbard, is joining us now. Tulsi, I wanted to start. You don't have the sound yet from... Do we have the sound yet from Hillary Clinton yet? We do have...
We don't have the flashback from Hillary.
Not the flashback, but we do have the new sound. Let's play this new sound from Hillary Clinton, and I want to get Tulsi's reaction. Take a listen.
He thinks that if he bullies you enough... And it's worked with the Republican Party. It certainly has worked with the House Republicans, as we see every day now. If he bullies you enough, you will give in. He really doesn't understand enough history to have an informed opinion, but it wouldn't matter anyway because he wants to be on the side of, you know, the big guys. But the bottom line is he's easily bullied and he's easily flattered.
You know, Tulsi, I want to go right to you on this because for Hillary Clinton to talk about bullying people, I'd like your reaction. I mean, you were on the debate stage with her, and I feel like you were pretty much bullied out of the Democrat Party for taking views that might be, again, not in the, I guess, mainstream of every single point that they have in their, you know, of the Democrat playbook. And they basically bullied you out. They called you, you know, horrible things, said you were some kind of Russian agent, even though you serve our U.S. military. I mean, they let it all out on you, and yet they're claiming that President Trump is the bully.
Yeah, Jordan, the hypocrisy is deafening. While I did not get to engage with her on the debate stage, I surely wish that I could have. Her presence was known. I think it's very telling that back in the 2016 election, I was asked by an MSNBC reporter because I was coming out very strongly against Hillary Clinton in that primary election as a Democrat. I resigned from as a vice chair of the DNC in order to do that, calling her out for her record that had cost so many lives and cost us trillions of dollars, her record as the queen of warmongers. An MSNBC reporter asked me on live television just before one of those debates, saying, "Aren't you afraid of Hillary Clinton and what she'll do to you?" That right there said it all. To have somebody from MSNBC posing that question with some real concern in their voice points to exactly what kind of person she is and the leverage and the strength that she uses to ultimately go after her opponents, retaliate with a kind of vindictiveness that is so toxic. And also, of course, reward their friends. The day that I resigned as vice chair of the DNC, went after Hillary Clinton on her record. I went back to Capitol Hill. We had votes. I was serving in Congress. And many of my Democrat colleagues told me very directly, "Tulsi, you have just committed political suicide. There is a list of names that Hillary Clinton keeps, and you will never be able to work your way off that list." It's ironic for her to be levying these accusations again, instead of doing what she should be doing, what everyone should be doing, was say, focus on the substance. If you want to argue for or against a piece of legislation or an issue, focus on that. Why resort to the kind of name calling and smear tactics and censorship that she and her friends in the propaganda media and big tech very often resort to, not only with me, but obviously with Donald Trump, with anyone who dares to cross them and defy their wishes or their position.
I mean, I want to go back to what that MSNBC reporter said. They said to you, "Aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid of what Hillary Clinton might do to you?" And then we saw Chuck Schumer say, Donald Trump, he's going to face a whirlwind if he wants to take on the CIA and the FBI and the intel community. Why? Why should the elected president of the United States have to face the whirlwind of the CIA and FBI who they serve? I mean, they take their orders from him, not the other way around. And yet we saw how the CIA and FBI used their resources to damage President Trump as much as possible. I mean, it's not an empty threat, Tulsi. I would say that's probably why the MSNBC reporter said it somewhat seriously, is these are not just threats. I mean, they come with backing, and they come with evidence, and we've seen evidence of it.
We've seen so many pieces of evidence of it that they will find whatever way they can to manufacture so-called proof in order to destroy people that they want to destroy or to be able to help their friends. The Chuck Schumer quote the warning that he gave Donald Trump, basically saying Trump is stupid to be messing with the intelligence agencies and the intelligence community. You know, it sends a very chilling message that these people, Chuck Schumer, elected leaders in the House and Senate, are terrified of government institutions that they are supposed to be exercising oversight over. So they've created a situation, the Chuck Schumers of the world have created a situation where they tell the intelligence community, basically, you do whatever you want because we're too afraid to do our jobs in looking out for the American people, looking out for our Fourth Amendment rights, our civil liberties, our right to privacy. You guys can destroy whoever you want to, or better yet, we will tell you who we want to destroy. Let's go back and look at that memo that was signed by the 51 former senior intelligence officials that was orchestrated by Tony Blinken, by people who still worked at the CIA at that time, to be able to pull that all together in such a short period of time. Why did they do that? Because of, and this was delivered in testimony to Congress, because they needed a piece of evidence for Joe Biden to use to shut down Trump's line of attack against him, that Hunter Biden was trading on his relationships and was corrupt in his dealings with other countries. They got the piece of paper, Joe Biden used it in the debate and said, look, here's the proof, here's the evidence that Donald Trump is lying. Well, it turns out Donald Trump was telling the truth and the rest of these people were lying. They have no reservations and will go to all ends in order to get what they want. And what they want is power.
You know, Tulsi, we're going to see a vote over the weekend, which has been a long time coming, to separate out some of this foreign funding to different countries who are facing or requesting military aid and funding from the United States. The left wanted all of this combined, and that was just not going to pass through the House. It was clear they were trying to punish Republicans through that and make them look like they were like anti-Ukraine. But most of them said, listen, we just want accounting for what we've already sent to Ukraine before we send more money to Ukraine. So Speaker Johnson, again, was able to finally get this divided up into four separate votes that will be taken over the weekend. One will be on Israel. Another will be on Ukraine. One will be on kind of Indo-Pacific and Taiwan more specifically. And, you know, they're not saying China specifically, but we know that's four. And then one, which we don't have an exact number yet, but they're going to announce for our own U.S. Military. I mean, to me, this seems much more reasonable so that members of Congress don't have to decide, hey, I want to vote for all these countries, or I think, you know, Israel accounts for it the right way. Ukraine, I'm a little bit more, I want some more info on. Taiwan, I get because of China. And of course, I want to fund the U.S. military. Is this the right amount? So dividing it up, I don't think is so dangerous to our national security, because it actually allows members of Congress to learn more about where this money is going.
Yeah, Jordan, there's a few important things here. Number one, yes, I agree that these kinds of bills and bills on any other topic, you should have them introduced and brought to the floor for a vote as standalone votes. You know, we all know the reason why they lumped these things together, why the Democrats wanted to lump these things together, is because they were worried, as you said, that the Ukraine vote might lose. It's such a dishonest way of policymaking and governing, because members of Congress are then not held accountable for their position on a single issue. They then go back and say, oh, well, you know, I wasn't really for that, but it had this other really important thing, so I didn't have a choice on how to vote. Well, in this case, by separating them out and breaking them out, I agree that Speaker Johnson's made the right decision to have individual debate on each of these. And individual votes. I think that's important. But really, what I hope to see in this, and he talked about amendments and other things, what I hope to see in this is that the American people should demand at a bare minimum an accounting of the dollars that they are spending, our taxpayer dollars. But what really needs to come out in this is a conversation about Ukraine, for example. But every one of these, what is our objective in the spending of these billions of dollars? How does it serve our country's national security interests? How does it serve the interests of the American people? When you look at Ukraine, how is another $50 or $60 billion going to improve the situation there. This is a longer conversation, but they need to get to the heart of these issues and not just settle for the mere accounting of dollars and cents. The other thing, real quick,
they have 300 million set aside for Ukraine out of the 61 billion to secure their border. It'd be nice if they wanted to spend that money on our southern border, because I don't think you could secure the entire Ukraine border for $300 million. Tulsi, we always appreciate you joining us. Folks, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. I mean, you've seen just today why it's critical to support us financially. Double the impact during our Life and Liberty Drive. Or become an ACLJ champion, a monthly donor. aclj.org. Donate today. We'll be right back taking your phone calls. Folks, welcome back to Secular. We're going to take your phone calls. I want to hit one more topic real quick from the European Center for Law and Justice before we do. CC House joining us. And CC, the European Center for Law and Justice has filed a letter. Now it's up at aclj.org with the European Union demanding that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps be classified as a terrorist organization. Had the EU ever before classified them as a terrorist organization?
No, they haven't. And in fact, the European Union is an economic and political union that's made up of 27 European member states. And they had a meeting in Brussels yesterday regarding Iran's attack on Israel. And they actually came out with a very good statement that says it strongly and unequivocally condemns the Iranian attack on Israel and reiterates its full solidarity with the people of Israel and commitment to Israel's security and to regional stability. The European Council calls on Iran and its proxies to cease all attacks. And then it also says that it's going to take further restrictive measures against Iran, which is great. But there were many states that were asking again to classify the Islamic Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist organization. And that comes with sanctions and other punishments. But Mr. Borrell, who is the high representative of the Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, has consistently stated that the European Union cannot make this designation until a court in one of the member states makes that designation first. And in fact, in January of 2023, an overwhelming majority of European Parliament made this request. And Mr. Borrell's position has basically consistently been they cannot make that designation. So we fired off a letter from our European Center for Law and Justice today after the meeting yesterday. And we point out that Mr. Borrell is actually in error about this point, that the fact that the United States designated the Islamic Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist organization in 2019 satisfies the legal requirement that Mr. Borrell is referring to, especially that since the United States is a permanent member on the Security Council at the United Nations. So we point that out to Mr. Borrell and say that we are requesting and demanding that the IRGC is put on the terrorist list, that the EU does designate them as a terrorist organization. And then we do applaud the EU for imposing sanctions against Iran and the support for Israel.
Yeah, I mean, so again, they try to back away, say, oh, we can't do anything about it. We say, hey, actually, you can.
You can, right.
And I think this is just very important when we're taking on an issue like Iran. You go to all of those international institutions and the ones that try to say, well, this is not really what we do. And you say, well, there's actually a lot you could do because of your financial power you have. So you might not call it what you will, like a terror list, but you might be able to put it on a sanctions list and economically prevent that. So I encourage people to check that out. And it's just the way we are thinking at the ACLJ and ECLJ, unique ways to stem the flow of cash getting into the terror state of the Islamic Republic of Iran. But I do want to take your calls. We'll go in order. We'll start with Bill in Ohio on line three. Hey, Bill, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. I'm a proud champion from Ohio, and
that
I got a simple
awesome.
Question.
Thank you, Bill.
Hey, we got all these things happening to take Trump down, and it seems like one after the other, and they all seem coordinated. It is hard for me to believe these are just random events. So who's actually pulling the strings behind all this?
So again, It's not supposed to be that they are also, I guess, with the political questions, but the people pulling the strings. I mean, I think when you're really thinking about it, it's the legal system, and they have come together. And I mean, Cece, I think what we've seen is this unique coming together of the left in the federal government. So you've got Jack Smith and his two cases out of D.C. and Florida, and sometimes they conflict state and federal, but this time around it seems like they're working fine together. You've got Georgia's D.A., you've got Manhattan's D.A., but you've also got New York's A.G. So, I mean, you've got cities, you've got states, and you've got the feds. I mean, they're all working hand in hand, and they've all figured out different cases to try and bring against President Trump. And the goal here, I think, is not to try and get a conviction before Election Day, CC, because these are all kind of taking some major time. They're trying to get President Trump dirtied up so that people are worried about voting for him if he has this much hanging over him. I mean, it's just a clear strategy. And with these cases that he has to sit through, these criminal cases, it takes him off the campaign trail.
Absolutely.
I mean, what more election interference is there than preventing the other major candidate, if you're Joe Biden, that you have to beat by keeping them off the campaign trail and keeping them out of fundraisers?
Right, absolutely. Trying to soil his name and his reputation and then keep him so occupied that he cannot go and actually campaign and participate in this election.
Right. I mean, this is, again, it's what we're seeing. It's a different kind of election interference by a use of the legal system, which is kind of the most disgusting kind of election interference. It's supposed to be equal justice under law, not treat people differently because you don't like the way they talk or their politics or the fact that half the country would basically would vote for them for president. I mean, that's how divided we are. The Republican Party decided to nominate them again for president of the United States. The first former president to even face criminal charges, President Trump. I mean, he's setting a lot of firsts. Back to the phones we go. We grab another call. Let's go to Dee in California on line two. Hey, Dee.
Hey, listen. My question is this. First of all, it's not supposed to be political, so why all the political questions? Secondly, when you're on a jury, you're not to read the newspaper, listen to news, whatever, so why ask that even?
You know, I think, listen, what they're trying to do is they're not trying to ask who you're going to vote for, CC. They're trying to get around that.
Yeah.
But they're trying to say is, can you be impartial to President Trump?
Yeah.
Like, do you love him too much or do you hate him too much?
Right.
And it is a pretty political question because now that he has been a president of the United States. So I think you could have asked that question before when he was just kind of like a celebrity and a businessman. But now that you ask it, it is basically asking, you don't have to tell them which way you are, but it kind of is asking, do you feel strongly about him politically?
Right.
Even though they tried to say, well, you could still want to vote for him and still be impartial. I'm really not sure how you could.
Right. I think it's all the political questions because it's a political prosecution. That's where the truth is. They ask the political questions because this whole prosecution is about politics. It's not about really a criminal prosecution at all. It's a political prosecution.
Yeah, I mean, folks, again, I don't have time to take any more phone calls today, but I do want you to know this. We will update you again over the weekend as these votes come through. We know tomorrow is going to be very important to contact your members of Congress if these votes stay on schedule to make sure that we get those votes for Israel, bipartisan votes. Let's get as many bipartisan votes, Republican votes, Democrat votes as we can to support that aid to Israel. It is important. They have been waiting for it. And I thank Speaker Johnson for finally parsing that out so that you don't have to say, well, to vote for Israel, I've also got to vote for the Ukraine funding. And even though that's not, there's no accounting for that funding, which would change a lot of minds too, I think, on that voting. But we're going to need your support. And we need your support now during our Life and Liberty Drive. Folks, we need you to donate. It is critical to the ACLJ. And right now, you can double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. And if you want to become an ACLJ champion, we've got over 21,000 of you. That means you choose an amount you donate each month automatically. Do it today.